Welcome to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I'm Lance Carter, and in this episode, I'm talking with Tony nominee Shalita Grant. Shalita Grant made her Broadway debut in Christopher Durang's Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. The show has 6 Tony nominations, including Best Play and Best Performance by an Actress in a Featured Role in a Play by Shalita Grant. Yes! So let me get this out of the way and say that Shalita Grant is way cooler than I'll ever be. I mean, just our conversation was awesome, and she is just the coolest person I've talked to in a long time. She's from my home state of Maryland and went to the Performing Arts High School in Baltimore. From there, she went to Juilliard, met Christopher Durang, who was and is the co-chair of the playwriting program there. He wrote a short play that she starred in, and that short play morphed into Vanya and Sonia. Great story, right? Yes. But she's got an even better story about turning down a chance to be in the ensemble of The Merchant of Venice that starred Al Pacino. Can you believe that? I mean, she's got so much confidence in herself. How can you just not love her? I talked to Shalita about what it's like to create a role on Broadway, getting nominated for a Tony, her rehearsal process, Vanya and Sonia, and we get into the whole Merchant of Venice story. It's great. She's great, and you're going to love this interview. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers, because every little click does help. Also, do you need a website? Every actor needs one, and Daily Actor can help. We do custom websites that are affordable, and it's not going to kill your bank account. We also sell casting director and agent mailing labels and have a great actors resource page. Be sure to check it out, and also be sure to take a look at our other interviews on dailyactor.com. And now, here's Shalita. You know, first I want to say that you're from Maryland, as I am, so I automatically love you.
Oh, thank you.
But anyway, so let's get back to the conversation at hand that we're supposed to do.
Oh, what's that? What's going on? Yeah.
Well, you know, so Vanya and Sonia is your Broadway debut, and you get a Tony nomination. You got to be, like, on cloud 9 right now.
Oh, my God. I've been on Broadway 2 months, and I'm 24, and I was the last person to think that this was going to happen. So, yeah, I'm really excited. All the award shows, like, I'm at the Drama League luncheon now. I had to, like, run out as soon as that was over to take this call. It's just a whirlwind, dude. It's crazy.
I bet, man. Wow. So, like, how did you find out you were nominated?
So the night before, I went to the Actors Fund Gala to honor HBO and Robert De Niro, and I asked my publicist, like, you know, what do you think? And she was just like, oh, hemming and hawing about it, and I was just like, you know what, it's not going to happen. Like, she's just protecting my feelings. So I thought, I'm not getting up that early to lose, so I'm going to go out. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to have a good time. So she texted me when we parted. She was like, if it's a personal nomination, I'll call you, but if it's for the show, I'll email you. And in my head, I was so set on not winning that I was just like, she's going to email me. So I went out, I partied till like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I get a phone call, like 8-something, and it's Lisa. And I'm like, why is this girl calling me? It's too damn early. Like, she told me that she emailed me. Like, why is she calling me? So there's a phone, and she's, like, losing her mind. And it's like, what? And she's like, are you asleep? And I was like, yeah. And she's just like, wake up! You're a Tony nominee! So that's how I found out.
So you probably didn't need any coffee that morning.
You know what? That was the fastest I have ever woken up in my life. I mean, in the first time that I woke up, like, with expletives, like, I was, like, jumping out of bed, like, saying all kinds of F's and S's, and, you know, it's just, like, trying to get my bearings, because I had to talk to people about how I felt immediately upon hearing the news. So it's crazy.
Man, that's so awesome. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks, man. It's just like, this is like the best year of my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like one of those things, like, I graduated, and I kind of, like, hoped, like, all theater students that, like, when you have, like seasoned actors who come in and talk to you about their experiences, you just want to hope that you won't have those experiences, like, you won't experience the rejection that they talk about. Yeah. And you could naively say, well, that was you. That's not going to be me. I'm going to have an easier time. And then, you know, I graduated, and it was not easy. It was not easy at all. Like, I had one audition where I just walked in, and the producer put his head down throughout my entire audition. Yeah. So it's just kind of like, yeah, you know, it's been a road, and I've worked, you know, fairly consistently, but, you know, this is the first time that I've been a part of a hit, and it's great to be recognized, especially because I had given up on any hopes of that happening for me, you know what I'm saying? So it's great.
You know what you should do? You should, like, take a picture of your middle finger and just email it to that producer.
Well, I gotta figure out what his name was. It was like one of those things. It was just like, you know, I walked in and he'd never seen me before. And so it was just like, well, I know this isn't personal, but dude, that's so effing rude. Like, so, yeah.
You went to Juilliard, right? High school. Was it a performing arts high school in Baltimore?
Yeah, I went to Baltimore School for the Arts. Off of Cathedral Street. I went there for 2.5 years. I had auditioned there. It was way past the audition time. I was way too old for the program. But, you know, I moved to Baltimore from Virginia. And when I was in Virginia, I was going to high school there, and I wasn't, like, a good teenager. I had, like, turned out to be pretty rotten. I started, like, skipping school and stuff. I was a big challenge. And so my mom was like, you should probably move to Baltimore with your dad family. And I got to Baltimore, and I was like, whoa. You guys are serious. You're serious about your criminal activity. Like, no one's joking around here, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just acting out. This isn't really how I am. I'm just sad. So let me get my stuff together because I'm not really a badass, you know? So I found out about the art school, and, you know, we sort of banged down the door and, begged for an audition, and Donald Hicken was the head of the EFI program at the time, and he was gracious and said, yeah, you know, I'll see you. And I, like, auditioned to, like, 6 monologues for him, and I got in that day, and you know, I haven't really looked back, and it's one of those things. It's sort of indicative of my journey so far. Like, you know, I sort of happen into these things that are amazing, and I have no idea, you know. That was something that I fought for, but, like, you know, getting into Juilliard, when I was at the school, you know, I had a teacher who was like, you saw this at Juilliard. I was like, what is that? He was like, it's a good program. You should. And so I auditioned, and it was my first college audition. I just thought, this is just practice for the other schools that I want to get into. And I got in, and I got a scholarship, and I thought, well, I guess I'll go here. And I got there, and I was like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This was a big deal. I'm glad to be here.
You know, I interviewed Carrie Preston, who also went to Juilliard, and she called it kind of like her Vietnam, her acting boot camp, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she went,
yeah.
she had no idea how hard and crazy it was going to be. Was it that like that for you?
Well, you know, I don't know, when did Carrie go there? When did she go there?
You know what? I'm not sure. She went there. I know Stephen Kunkin was also there with her. So they went there around the same time. I don't know.
Well, when I got there, it was Tim Houghton's first year. And when I got there, they had eliminated the cut program. So that sense of, like, competition and that rigorous sort of, like, that vigor and pain, it was more of a personal thing. It was, like, sort of like this, like, scared for your life, like, my ass is on the line sort of thing. And, you know, I enjoyed my time there. You know, there were a couple of dark periods that I went through in my training, like, just trying to get past the things that were in my way of being the best that I could be. Like, there was one period in my second year where I was like, I'm going to quit, and I'm going to go and be in the FBI. So, like, I went the computer lab, and I like looked up the qualifications to be an FBI agent because I was like, this is too fucking hard. I think the FBI would be easier. Is that crazy? So it's hard. It's difficult, but like, you know, the old Juilliard drama division is gone, but the hard work and the pain that you go through as an artist to try to get past your own junk and understand, you know, what it is that we're up to, that's still very much part of the program. So, yeah.
What's it like to create a role on Broadway? Because, I mean, not a lot of actors get to do that.
You know, I am so charmed. You know, like, this is just awesome. You know, I met Chris Durang when I was at Juilliard, and I found out about him when I was high school student. You know, I was reading his stuff and, like, laughing my ass off. Like, who is this dude? Like, so crazy. I love it. And then I got to Juilliard, and they were like, oh, that's Chris Durang over there. And I was like, what? What the hell is he doing here? And it turns out that he's, like, the head of the playwriting program at Juilliard. So we became pretty friendly, and, you know, he enjoyed my work, which was very flattering and, like, also mind-boggling. And he called me and asked me to do the reading of this play when it was a one-act, and, of course, I said, yeah. And I got there, though, and we did one act that was like classic Chris Durang, and then we did this one, and I was like, well, what do you want me to do, Chris? Because I don't really know what this is. And he was like, figure it out. So I was like, okay, we have like an hour before we do this in front of actual people, so I got to get it together. So, you know, the characters are. Yeah, like, when you do readings of plays, you show up and you usually have like an hour and a half for that rehearsal, and then you do it in front of an audience.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it was like in the rehearsal when we started on this one act. Yeah, I was like, okay, what is this? And he was like, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? And he was like, I don't know. Let's figure it out. So, you know, I was like, all right, snap decision. I thought of my great-grandmother in Virginia, who's Hudson City bipolar and just out there, like so out there. And I just thought, okay, I know how to do that. That's real for me. So let me just try this. And he loved it. And I didn't think about it when we were doing it. Like, again, it was just like I was given a task and I just kind of did it, you know, and I wasn't thinking like, oh, I'm originating this thing. I didn't even think about that, you know. I was just like, I don't want him to hate me.
Uh-huh.
So then, you know, he writes the second act with me in mind, and I've been with this thing. It's been a long journey. So I'm incredibly fortunate to be so young and to have this opportunity, but you know, I still can't believe it.
Yeah.
I still can't.
So when you're in rehearsal and you're kind of first working on the part, are you the kind of person who like constantly is making notes in your script or making like a character notebook, or what's kind of like your process like?
My process is different for every play, you know, like sometimes I am looking for like inspiration. I'm always looking for inspiration from like real life, but sometimes like I don't know these people, so I have to like actively seek out these people in the world, art, in pop culture, and like try to understand, you know, what it is I'm doing and why I'm doing it. This play was so personal because, you know, I kind of knew it, and, you know, working with Chris along the way, it was great. But the thing that's pretty common for me is that I never write notes in my notebook. I write down the notes from the director, like what he wants me or she wants me to do. But as far as like character journals and things like that, I don't do that. And I'm also not an actress that like sits down and memorizes my script. It's just one of those things that I just never really needed to do. I memorize on my feet. So we go through the scene and we block it, and by the time we go through it the second time, I've memorized the scene. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's I just, it's hard for me to do things and it not be connected to another person, to the other actor. It's very difficult for me to sit down in a room by myself and memorize lines.
Yeah.
I can't do that. Like, as soon as I get up, I forget. So, like, if it's motivated, if the movement is motivated, if the lines are motivated, you know, then, you know, it's very easy for me to just memorize it. And then from there, it's like, you know, certain phrases, certain, you know, moments or whatever, then it's easy for me to deduce where my problems will be in the scene because I can't memorize it. Like, if it's something that's difficult for me to memorize, I'm like, oh, that's not connected. That, I don't understand that yet. So it's easier for me to kind of figure out where I'm not really there.
Oh, yeah.
So that's sort of my process, if I have one. That's just sort of what I do. But I'm also like the actor who's like in my dressing room, like eating during the play. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very, it's hard for me to it's easy to just get on stage and like look at David Hyde Pierce and like say my lines. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
just like,
sure. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's so, and when you're working with actors that are of the caliber that I'm working with, it just makes my job so much simpler. You know what I'm saying? It's just great. It's great.
And I read something about you, and I think, and if this is right, and it shows how confident you are in yourself and your abilities. You turned down, I guess, an ensemble role in The Merchant of Venice.
It's so funny you bring this up. Chris said the same thing to me today. We were talking today, and he was just saying, you know, he didn't know that Joey Parnes, who's the producer of this show, was the producer of that show. And he was just like, wow, like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that, and you were right, you know. You were right to do it the way that you did it. So it's so funny that you say that today now. Yeah, you know, as many times as people have said no to me, and I'm more than sure as long as I'm alive, you know, people will continue to say no to me. But I still know what I'm worth. And it was one of those things where it was like a first job, a first opportunity, and I was just like, no, I'm willing to wait for something more, because that's not how I want to move forward in my career. That's not a move that I want to make. And I went, it took like 2 months until the next job, and then I went 7 months without a job. And during that period, I was doing like readings and stuff, and it was pretty scary, like, you know, like, wow, am I that actress? Is this where we're at? And then it's like from there, I just booked one thing after another. So it was just sort of like my season, I guess, to sort of reevaluate, because it was, you know, I was fresh out of school, and I'm dealing with all of these no's and trying to figure out how to stay true to myself and still love myself, even though it feels like other people don't. And not allowing that to define you. So,
yeah. I just think that is the greatest story. I mean, just the confidence that you have in yourself, you know, it's just, that's amazing to me, you know?
Don't get me wrong, like, I'm not a cocky person, but it was just like, I don't want to move furniture. I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. I want to do something else. I want to do something more. But it's funny, like, I turned down Broadway, and then I do Measure for Measure in jail. Like, we went to jail. I was doing Shakespeare in jail. Doing jailhouse Shakespeare at the public theater. That's funny. Whatever.
Do you guys on stage get as irritated as I do when some jackass leaves his phone on?
Oh, it's so funny because I can't actually speak for everyone. I can speak for myself. When I hear it, I just giggle to myself because the audience takes care of any issues, any irritation we might have. There was one performance, this older woman had her cell phone on and either refused to or didn't know how to turn it off. And it went off three times, and I swear, I kind of felt like maybe we had to sort of jump in because the audience was ready to kill her. I mean, it was like, it was bad. Like, it was like a friggin' the Greek Colosseum, like the lions were ready to attack her. Like, it was bad. So I don't get irritated because the audience does it for me. So I'm just like, oh, they'll take care of them. Don't shame them into turning it off. You know what I'm saying? I can just give a slight pause and keep moving. Y'all are taking care of it.
What's your advice to actors?
You know, it's funny that it's to be even. To have someone even ask me that. It's so weird. It's
really?
it's like when people ask me, like, what are you wearing to, who are you wearing to the Tony? It's just like, really? I'm there? It's so goofy. but I guess if I had to, I would just say, be prepared. Just be prepared. I'm probably the most paranoid person I know. I'm always afraid. Like, when my producers, like, call me aside, I'm like, am I fired? Like, just tell me now. Like, I'm always, like, my ass is on the line. All the time. So, but I don't, even though I have that part of me, and I try to keep it in check in that I don't allow it to stop me from moving forward. I acknowledge that I'm freaked out and insecure and scared and, you know, I'm in some way putting my personal view of myself on the line, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know what, it's more important to me to do this work than it is to save face or, you know, to be liked. You're safer when you risk. And I think what makes it so safe when you're doing something risky, like, you know, creating a character on the fly or, you know, making a Broadway debut, is being prepared. It's being prepared. So that's all I think you gotta do. Show up on time. Be prepared.
There you
That's
go.
It.
And my final question is, do you vote for yourself in your Tony pool?
No, my money's on the Judiths. Listen, I'm just, in my head, Lance, I've already won. just being nominated,
yeah.
I feel like a winner. I'm a friggin' winner.
Now, is that really true when people say that, though? Like, I just feel...
I don't know about other people. I don't know about other people, but I can honestly say for myself, I'm surprised to even be on the list. So, I'm like, that's awesome. I'm awesome.
Well, I think, yes, I think you are awesome, and I'm going to put you in my Tony pool, so there you go.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Shalita, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter @DailyActor and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/DailyActor. Thanks again for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.